Welcome back, beautiful souls, to PRQ, Homesteading Expanded. I am so excited to be back. I had a nice little rest last weekend, and I am here where we rise once again together in sovereignty, abundance, and the pure light of truth. I'm your host, Robin. Join today with me, my co-host, Shane the Pop-Poppity Popper.
I'm glad you're back.
As we step into our sacred space with open hearts and our clear minds, today's show's topic is one that touches so many of us on our homestead path with a mortgage. Okay, I know that this will probably be the third show talking about this, but it's something that I'm very passionate about because I'm actually experiencing this. And this is what this show is about, sharing our experiences. So the title of today's show is, can your mortgage be legally dismissed? How to do it in peace while you're homesteading? So we're here to explore the hidden pathways of commercial law, the power of living in alignment with natural rights, and the real possibilities for reclaiming our freedom without fear, without force, in our hearts with love, clarity, and divine timing. So let's breathe deep, because I love to breathe deep. Lord knows when I was in Colorado, I had to do a lot of that. So tune in to the high frequency within, and let's walk this path together today. You're exactly where you're meant to be, live here on BBS Radio. So Shane, let's begin with the call-in line numbers.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Robin, for being back. I know you needed that special time off for yourself. And we had an interesting week, but you know what? You had a great time, and that's all that matters. I'm glad that I can be here to support you on your journey, and you support me on my journey, and we support each other on our journey as one.
I love it.
So lines today are open. You can call 1-888-627-6008. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. And out of country callers, call on in at 323-744-4831. Again, 323-744-4831. You can also email us at prqhomestead13 at gmail.com. That's prqhomestead13 at gmail.com with any questions. We love it when you reach out to us. We really love helping everyone. So feel free to subscribe to our show. Subscriptions start at $2.99. And if you can't afford that, please donate. If you can't donate, just please send us an email saying, hey, we just love hearing you. And that energetic of appreciation means more to us than any dollar amount. So we do love you. We do thank you. I think we did add a donation button, have we not?
Yes, we do. We do. We
Would you
do.
like to talk about that?
Yes, we actually have. Once again, I talked about a little beautiful lady and her two children in Ohio. They are struggling to get a heater in their home. Now, I've sent donations to them to get heating blankets and space heaters, and they're struggling with the local electric, not electric, but I think maybe it's called HEAP, HEAP. They sent out a worker to look at the furnace, and he didn't really do a whole lot, and he was supposed to come back and didn't return. Now, I haven't had time to call out to Heap yet, but I'm going to try to research it to help Allie out because I love Allie and the beautiful children. I speak to her all the time, and she's an amazing lady. So if anyone would like to help out, we really want to get some heat in the house. I mean, they're living there at 67 degrees. Now the heating blankets are helping. She does own the house, but they're struggling with the local system, unfortunately. So we're doing our best to assist them. So feel free to donate and help out. Okay. Love everyone. Okay, as you all know, this episode is sponsored by the one and only Nano Ojas. Fuel your focus, elevate your energy, shift your aging skin, and strengthen your immune system naturally. These next-gen nano sprays deliver pure, potent nutrients that absorb instantly into your cells, helping you feel your best from the inside out. Nano Ojas, where science meets the soul. So check them out at nanoojas.net. Use our promo code PRQ15 for 15% off your order. And it's not just your first order, it's all orders. They do have a learn tab if you want to know more about the scientific information, because I like to check out products and, most anything that we put into our bodies is important to check that out. They also do have a testimonials on the website. So check it out and get started. So Shane, before we jump into the information that I'm going to share with the audience, I just want to talk for a minute on my experience in Colorado. The reason I went there back in December, I was kind of in a funk because of the situation I'm going through, and I let myself drop into a lower frequency, but I pulled myself out, and I met a wonderful person on one of my retreats in Costa Rica through Lucia's retreat program. And I was chatting with her, and she invited me out to her place in Colorado. And I was going to do it over the Christmas holiday because, what the heck? It's a long weekend, might as well do it. But it was a little bit too soon, so we pushed it out till January. And I was able to have a weekend over there. I went hiking. I laid in the snow. I grounded in my bathing suit with my feet in the snow and touched the aspen trees. So that's what we call die hard grounding. I was able to go 9,700 feet above sea level and ski. And boy, howdy, was I scared at first. But you know what we say about fear, get rid of it. And I did four long runs. I always wanted to know what it was like to ski in Colorado because their paths are a lot longer than the paths that we have on the hills here in Michigan. And I was able to go to the hot springs and I did a cold plunge. And most of all, I was connecting with Earth and I was getting sunshine. And even though it was cold, the sunshine was amazing because here in Michigan, we don't get a whole lot of sunshine. And it was just so wonderful when I got to the airport and the sun was there. I stood in the window and I went, ah, I feel the sun. It's so amazing. But today here in Michigan, we have a pure blue sky with some sunshine because I asked our friend, could you please just give us a little warm up? And even though it's still cold, we did get some sunshine. So I'm good with that. So I wanted to share that with everyone. And I did on one of my hikes, I did come across a real homestead. It was the remnants of a cabin in the middle of nowhere. It was slightly, not completely together. There were bits and pieces. But let me tell you the feeling that I felt when I stood there next to that piece of history. I connected with it and I thought to myself, maybe this will be my next homestead spot. Because sometimes we are led to places and experiences, and things come across our way in the here and now. And I really felt connected with that. And I'm looking forward to going back. I was going to go to the local, I think it was the what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, I can't think of it. But anyway, where they have all the history. But it was closed on Sunday because I wanted to see if they had any information on that homestead and what the time frame was when it was built and who lived there and so forth. Museum, that's what I was looking for. Okay, so that was my experience, everyone, and I feel so refreshed and revived, and I am connected once again with my beautiful spirit, and just I'm so excited to be back and to share the information with you all. Okay, so love all of you, and I guess we'll get started. Are you ready?
I'm glad you shared that story because last week when I was winging it, we had to change things sporadically. We had some callers call in and it was really fun. You could see the synchronicity and your experience and what you were experiencing there. And me and Sunshine actually talked about how, when she called in, how, sometimes we get led to these areas energetically and don't understand why we're there. Sometimes we do. You got to feel it. When we get there, you got to feel the land. When people are going out looking, searching for a place they want to homestead, they can feel the energetic. So we talked about that last week. And sometimes we don't know how we'll get there, but we always end up there as long as we're seeking, right? So that's beautiful that you could share that. We had that conversation last week, and everything happened for a reason. Last week's show happened because it was supposed to happen that way. So I just went with it and winged it and stayed in my heart and did whatever I could to I did, I told our audience, you gave me permission to go off road and to kind of do my thing just in case it happened. And look how powerful you are. It did happen and I had to do it. So I love it. I love it. I love it. I love the experiences. And I hope people are starting to recognize the pattern recognition of things that happen. We talk about things one week and they happen the next week. Or sometimes when they say things out loud and they're it around them and things, when they say it out loud, things will tend to show up that week. And as long as they can stay in the moment and in the heart and recognize that it happened, you kind of start seeking and searching. And the more you seek and search, the more you come together. So I love it. I love being able to share these experiences with you and the audience. And this is my passion. This is my destiny. This is me. This is me. I'm here to, I love to activate people and help them become aware of things around them. And I kind of consider myself an activator of a higher frequency. When I connect with people, magical things happen, and I love it. And I'm living my life, and I'm passionately living it. So, I love doing these shows with you, and it's been a pleasure. And I want to tell you how appreciative I am to you and BBS Radio.
Oh, I love you, Shane. You're so wonderful. I love your heart. I love your spirit. And thank you, Sunshine, Errol, and Birdie, I do believe it was. Thank you guys all for assisting Shane. Y'all did a
Oh,
great
yeah.
job coming from your heart. So beautiful, beautiful.
Well, get.
Okay. Oh, go ahead, Shane.
I was going to tell you to get started, do your thing.
Okay. In our last two shows, we talked about mortgage-backed securities. How mortgage debt is created and how you create the value when you sign the promissory note. We also mentioned looking into the documents of your own personal mortgage and learning how you might be able to challenge the note by researching the information in the documents. If you know anything about consumer law, banking regulations, and the UCC tenant, how do you get yourself out of the debt web with the bank in regard to your mortgage while homesteading your property? So I'm going to do a little clarification on the UCC tenet. And what that means is it is a core principle of the Uniform Commercial Code. Here are some actual foundational principles of the UCC. Number one, being good faith. And what that means, the parties must act honestly and observe reasonable commercial standards. This is also under UCC 1-201 B20 and UCC 1304. So if you want to dive deeper into that, feel free to go check those UCCs out. The second one is freedom of contract. Parties can generally agree to their own terms unless the UCC specifically restricts them. And that can also be found under UCC 1-302. The third one, commercial reasonableness. Actions, especially enforcement and disposition of collateral, must be commercially reasonable. And this one you can find under Article 9, under secured transactions. Number four, notice over formality. The UCC favors substance over form. Filing is meant to give notice, not prove ownership. Okay. Uniformity, number five, across states. The UCC exists to standardize commercial law jurisdictions. And then number six, course of dealing, using of trade. Okay. And that one is prior behavior and industry practice can define or modify contract terms. And this is also located under UCC 1-303. So our friend said long ago to get to know the UCC codes. And in my experience that I'm going through right now with my situation, I'm learning a lot about the UCC codes. So important clarification, and this really truly matters. There is no UCC tenet that creates a straw man, converts people into corporations, allows debt elimination by filing UCC ones, or grants secret remedies through the UCC filings. Those ideas do not exist in UCC law and are not recognized by the courts, which does not surprise me. Okay, so the simple takeaway from this is that the UCC tenet is not a legal doctrine. It is an informal way of referring to basic principles contained in the Uniform Commercial Code. So, another one that we should learn. So, please keep in mind, again, we are just sharing from our own research. This is not legal advice, nor are we acting as legal advisors. Okay, this is just information I'm sharing from my own personal experiences, research, and my journey. So, if you are going through a foreclosure right now, or stop making your payments after you finished your homestead process, or you just could not afford the payments anymore, or maybe you are still making the payments and would like to be free on your land and now have a legitimate federal homestead patent. Okay. If you are in good standing, you want to keep paying that mortgage, as we heard Troy say in some of the past shows that I shared his recording. Until you know what your strategy is going to be in regard to freeing yourself on your homestead. Okay. So really, really look into your situation and understand everything about it. Learn it. Don't do what I do and shoot from the hip and just stop paying. Yeah. And you know, I remember our friend saying, Robin, you're a little bit reckless. Now, I didn't understand what he said, understand what he said by that. But maybe he knew something, possibly. So in our last few shows, we talked about the promissory note, as I said earlier, which funds the mortgage, and that the lender never really loans you any money for the property that you are purchasing. What they don't want you to know, the bank never really pays the seller, okay? They use our signature to create the credit. The transaction did not end with this when the seller got paid. It ended when the transaction began. Okay, this is solid information. Now, has it changed in regard to common law? Don't know that yet. but I'm just going by what is in place in present Earth versus new Earth. Okay, so we'll put it like that. The bank uses the promissory note as the value to deposit as an asset on the ledger. There are three scenarios on the processes that are going on behind the scenes, and we'll get to that momentarily. Now, I talked about the Modern Money Mechanics book, all right? This would probably be a good book to have on hand. I know we're not supposed to get into books, but because we have all the knowing, but I don't know a whole lot about modern money mechanics. So maybe I do, and maybe it'll come to me. Who knows? So you learn how to build up evidence and shift the burden of proof on them, the banks. Okay, find out what options are there for you, and stop letting the banks take advantage of us. So the overview of what happens behind the scenes. What legal strategies are available to us as we are in a situation of foreclosure? In my case, that is my situation. Or again, unable to pay, and maybe to assist with avoiding challenges with your homestead patent. Do the banks have legal standing, and what are some of the facts in regard to the process of how your mortgage was created? Again, as I said earlier, research your mortgage documents, and especially the documents that you signed when you went to the closing, because they are a whole nother group of verbiage. Read them carefully, learn the terms of what is in the document, and I'm not going to say understand, because I know understand is the proper language. So understand them. So what are the hidden mechanics of the mortgage? All right, we're going to start with a promissory note that funded the mortgage. The lender never really loans you money for the property. And you can find this information. Look at 12 USC 1431, and it is all about the powers and duties of the banks. This section of the United States Code, Title 12, Banks and Banking, Chapter 11, Federal Home Loan Banks, outlines the powers and duties of federal home loan banks, including borrowing. Do you see how I said that word? I did it good, didn't I, Shane?
You did.
I did. Issuing obligations, accepting deposits, investments, and other operational authorities. So let's talk about what happens after you sign the promissory note. We all know that the seller doesn't, well, you could say, does the seller really get paid? Well, no, because they use your signature to create the credit, as I said earlier. So we'll use this as an example. The promissory note is signed, which creates, say, your house, you're buying a house for $300,000, is what the loan amount is. Therefore, the note is what the bank uses to then deposit as an asset. All right. This becomes an internal transaction between the bank and the Federal Reserve. And what they are doing is, again, creating credit. In actual reality, they are not giving money. It's all being done in accounting, or another word would be bank ledger. So they are only putting credit in the seller's account. It's not real money, it's just credit. So, Shane, from your experience, when you've ever gotten a loan, did you ever get cash put into your account, or was it just a number that showed up?
Well, just a number shows up.
Yeah, same here. So if anyone's ever really gotten cash from doing a loan, I've never had that experience, to be honest with you. Never really thought about it until now. So when you walk out of the closing knowing you just borrowed $300,000, the seller is happy and you have the keys to your new home. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the bank, your promissory note, does not just sit in the vault. And I said this, I do believe it was February 17th on my show, as I explained. It gets endorsed, copied, and sold. It is now treated like a stock, traded in which it, okay, traded in what is known as a secondary market. Just wanted to give you an idea of what happens again behind the scenes. So there's three processes. It's very interesting. It's confusing too at the same time. So it really takes a lot of concentration and more time to really dive deep into it. It's not really my highest excitement doing all of this paperwork and reading, but I do get excited when I start learning more about it because I become more confident. And in my present situation, and I think about 10 days from now, I am going in front of the bankruptcy court for my 341 meeting. And I'll jump into that later because I want to share two documents that they sent to me that I thought was very interesting that prompted me to research these documents and find out what the real legalities was around it. So the UCC 3104 definitions of negotiable instrument is all the banks do is take your promissory note and they exchange it with the Federal Reserve, and you never receive any money from the Federal Reserve. They keep the money and then they deposit into your bank account as, as a ledger, as numbers. Here is where we look up the meaning of deposit. It's a deposit. Okay, so what is deposit in bank terms? 204.2 Legal Information Institute under A1. That's my reference. Deposit means the unpaid balance of funds or its equivalent received by a depositing institution. If they are putting an unpaid balance, then that would mean you were never paid, right? Kind of makes sense to me. This is my perception, anyway, of what I've researched. Basically, it is actually, once again, an accounting entry. And we just talked about that. So we also talked about how they monetize the signature and create the loan out of thin air with your signature. Then they use the note and securitize it. It then sells on what we call Wall Street, also known as MBS, mortgage-backed securities. Another way that it is done is through, and I know this just from my personal experience in learning about my mortgage, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, Ginnie Mae, and they are sold to Wall Street, then being sold to investors after that. And every one of them profit from your promissory note as you continue to pay your mortgage payment. It's like a game, where they pull thousands of notes together and they sell them to investors. So everybody that's getting a mortgage, they put them all in a bundle and they go to Wall Street. And it's called a pool. I do believe it's called a pool. This is what they again call mortgage-backed securities. Wall Street trades debt like a stock, and every time someone buys the bond, someone gets paid again. And guess what? It ain't you. Okay? But you are still paying that monthly mortgage fee. So when you leave the closing, once again, happy with your keys to your new house, the bank is already flipping your signature. Your debt becomes the bank's inventory, and it becomes a part of their asset. They don't just sit on it. They sell it, as I mentioned in one of my other shows, in one of our other shows. This is how you can challenge it. This is how you truly can challenge it by sending a conditional acceptance. When you send a company a letter verifying these documents and they don't have the original copy of the document, and you know they're not going to have it because they sold it, right? So you can affirm and clarify that it has been sold by sending this request. If the bank does not have the original note, then they do not have the ability to claim authority over it. So this is one way to challenge it. I haven't personally done it. If there's anybody out there that has, feel free and give us a call because we'd love to hear about it. So the banks create a matching liability of credit. Therefore, the asset plus the credit zeros it out, and the Federal Reserve clears it. Isn't that a great system? What do you think about that system, Shane? Pretty interesting, huh?
Well, if you're part of the good old boys club, you understand how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Q always talked about how realtors were, they didn't realize how what they were doing. A lot of them don't realize what they're doing, but how it is corruption.
But their lawyers know what they're doing, I guarantee you that. And I do believe he called them the money mafia. So as we go on, the investors earn returns and the Federal Reserve, which is cleared through the Federal Reserve because it is not real money. It's like when we used to play the game Monopoly. And there was actually another game that was derived, and that's how Monopoly became another game. So, and I might go over that if we have time. After this is all said and done, your mortgage is no longer a private contract between you and the bank. It is now a global investment product. All right. Another challenge right there. Getting them, you can request proof of the wet signature, and I guarantee you they're not going to have it. So not only do they make money from you continuing to pay the monthly payment, and they sell it the moment you sign the promissory note and deposit it as an asset and then sell it again. You are paying for 30 years, yet the bank got paid in 30 days. So very interesting. Wow, what a system. This is when, as I said, you can challenge their ability to collect on the debt by challenging if there really is a debt. So in a nutshell, the promissory note starts as a signed piece of paper. And once Wall Street acquires it, then it becomes a digital bond backed by your labor, your payments to own the house. Our labor is part of the credit. Thus, where the word slave comes in, right? Just my perception. Just my perception, my two cents. So it's very interesting. The other law that states that if something is settled or sold, then they really don't have standing to collect on the debt. These are some things that you can question in regard to your mortgage and know so you can execute the process of challenging the mortgage. Fact of the matter, the moment that you signed the loan, you became the creditor. Yet they have us believing that we are the debtor. If you really do your homework and learn this process, you will find out that they are in debt to us. The reason being that if it was not for your signature and the obligation, there would not have been, it would, there, the obligation would not have been created. Okay. So without the banks, they would not be able to participate in commerce. When the loan is created, in some cases, they are getting paid several times, sometimes as much as 10 times the amount. Okay, so that's a lot. They're making a ton of money off of these mortgages. That's just crazy. Any thoughts on that, my partner?
No, I'm letting you roll. Just roll with it.
All right, feel free to chime in. All right, so our perception, we go to the bank, we borrow the money. The bank lends us cash, so we think, which is really an asset. And then the seller, when we sign for the house, gets paid, supposedly. Allegedly, let's just say allegedly. The second process, the Federal Reserve's part, starts with the borrower. The commercial bank creates the deposit note. It becomes an asset. The Federal Reserve clears it, paying back the liability. Then when Wall Street takes it and it becomes securitized, getting passed around several times. But yet the bank is making sure you are paying the so-called loan. So this is a time for all of us to wake up as consumers and start digging in to the documents that we sign because our signature is creating value. Did anybody out there know that?
Are they paying pennies on the dollar compared to what we loaned? For example, if it's 300,000, could they be buying this for like 50,000?
What, the investors?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. I really don't know that. I haven't dove that deep into it, but if it's 10 times, I would imagine so, wouldn't you think?
If they can, what I'm trying to get to is if they can buy that mortgage. Basically, by numbers, if you can have a lot of people buying that bond, that promissory note, for 50, say it's 50,000 on the loan, why can't we have the ability to purchase that ourselves?
Well, we can, and there is a way to do it. I don't know how to do it yet, but I know there is a way. There truly is a way, where we turn it around and we become the creditor and not the debtor.
Right. Right.
We just need to learn that process. I don't know how to do that as of yet, but as I go through this journey, I learn so much every time, because of what I'm going through with the situation that I'm in. Now, I had, and I'll talk about this briefly, real quick. I had two documents that were sent to me before my 341 hearing. And so I've been going on YouTube and looking up 341 hearings and what the process is and what the questions are, and what to expect in it. Because, whenever we have to go in front of the judge or somebody of authority, we always think, oh my goodness, I hope I don't say anything wrong. Hope I don't, this and that. But here's the fact of the matter. They cannot deny your bankruptcy no matter what, unless you are being dishonest. So as long as you're straight up and you're telling the truth about everything, even if you make a mistake on your assets or whatever, they'll give you more time to do it. They'll rejourn, like they did in my case. But they do still have my confirmation hearing scheduled for February 5th. Now here's the little game they play. So I called them up to find out if that was canceled. And they said, well, we can't really tell you that. We can't give you any legal advice. So basically, they're not going to give you the heads up. But she did say, we are planning on adjourning it the day of. So you sit there and go, should I show up or should I not? So I dove into more of that to find out what the legality is of it, of not showing up. Because I don't want to go all the way down there and find out, oh, hey, by the way, we adjourned you don't need to be here, right? So I looked into it and I found the calendar and I found the judge that I'm supposed to go in front of. And they updated, at first I couldn't find my name anywhere. And then I called the court and they said, oh, it's there. And I said, I'm on the website right now and I don't see it. I'm under Judge so and so and my name is not on there. Well, then she says, well, you need to look again. And so I went back to look again and all of a sudden there was another judge on there and my name was on his list. So they must have just updated it when I called in. All right. So I reached out to the trustee to find out, and they said, well, we're going to adjourn it the day of. All right. So as I was looking into the legalities of it, I don't really need to be there, and they can't deny me the being this process going through just because I don't show up. Okay. Because my affirmation isn't until the 10th. Now, they sent me two documents, and it's called the BPP form. All right. Because I am doing pro se representing myself, this is a form that you're supposed to fill out to let them know that you have nobody helping you. You're not paying anybody. You're not getting any advice for anybody else. Now, here's the kicker. The one form said voluntary. The other form from the trustee didn't say anything. So I reached out to the trustee and I said, okay, this seems a little deceptive because I got one form here that says that it's voluntary to fill out, but yet your form doesn't indicate that. And she says, well, you need to fill it out, blah, blah, blah. Well, then I realize, oh, they need my signature. What do they need my signature for? Two forms? They need my signature on two forms. Again, the signature creates the value, right? So I went on ChatGPT and I researched it, and you do not have to sign the form. You don't have to fill it out, but you can't just not respond. So you write up a declaration letter with a cover letter explaining why you do not feel that you need to, just explaining the legalities of it, which is what I did. It's in an envelope and I'm getting ready to send it off. I just want to make sure that I dotted my I's and crossed my T's and all that stuff. But do not fear these people. Do not be afraid. Whatever they say, question everything. Go in and learn what they're asking you for. Understand the information that they're requesting. Now, they do want to know about the situation with my foreclosure. And I'm not sure if I really need to handle that because that's a whole separate situation. And I haven't dove into that yet, but I will. All right. So just educate yourself. If you're going through something like this, definitely educate yourself. And the more that I learn in regard to this process, it's actually kind of fun. I know that sounds crazy, but back in December, I was like in fear and doubt and anxiety. And now that I've taken a step back and brought myself back into my neutrality and into my here and now, Shane, being in the present moment, not worrying about yesterday or what's coming down the road, and just being. And I continue to do the things I love, and I don't let this thing pull me off because it really was. Thus, the reason why I wanted to take this trip to Colorado. I just needed to get away and connect with me again. And it was a great a great decision on my part, and I'm glad I did. So don't let this kind of stuff stop you from being in your happy place, all right? Keep on
Right.
being who you are and doing the things that you love to do. And don't feel guilty about it, because I was feeling, should I go to Colorado? I really probably shouldn't, because, but you know what? I'm free, I'm sovereign, and this is my journey. And I will navigate through it through the heart, and that's how I will succeed.
That's right. I love it. I love it. Earlier, you said something about when we take out loans, and it's created through our signature, and it's just a line of credit. And those lines of credit are put into a pool, and then these large corporations buy all these lines of credit, buy all these mortgages. Is that what you referred to?
Yeah, they
You.
you know where I think, and I don't understand all of it. There is a more intense process, and I've got a lot more learning to do, but I do believe if you have a car payment or you have a school loan or a mortgage, these are all considered securities that they pull and they sell the debt,
Well,
okay?
my point of saying all that is that's the way these loans have been given out. And as soon as we sign these promissory notes, they go into a pool, and then these large corporations buy these properties. Right? Basically, they're buying the loan, they're basically buying the property, right?
They're
What?
buying us. They're buying us, our labor. Okay. That's why we
Right.
have to work 8 hours a day to pay the debt. We're
What I'm
in
trying
a.
to say is, I'm trying to where we're at right now. Trump actually just came out probably a month ago and signed an executive order into place stating that these large corporations can no longer buy bulks of property anymore. So I think he's put a halt to that in a way. I don't think a lot of people understand that, but basically he's shut down the way he's cut the head off the snake for the most part, but. What he's basically done is put a stop to all that.
I love it. I love it. And you know what? We've seen a lot of stuff come out. We don't know all the time now. Like, I think it was on For the People dot space. Now, I'm not sure where I heard this from, but go to your sources that you know that are solid information. And it's okay to check what's going on out there in the world, but don't get too wrapped up in it. And you're right, Shane. These are good things that we're hearing. But there are a lot of people that are coming out and saying, well, that's fake news and this is that. And you know, it could be, it could not. You know, it all just depends. You just got to know the sources, where it's coming from. And I truly believe that what you just said, you and I both know that there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes and actually have taken place a long time ago. All right. And they're all going to start coming out. And we're seeing it kind of, I guess you could say, dribble into our realities. Would you say that?
Oh yeah, I mean it's there the exposure for the people that aren't aware is what you're seeing right now. You're seeing a movie play out is what you're seeing, and there's a lot of these things have already been taken care of, so there's no reason for anyone to really worry or put any worry behind anything. There are still those corporations or the system that's still in play, but those people that are still participating in the system when they shouldn't be, those are the ones that right now are being removed.
Right.
So just allow it to play out. Everything's already been done. The big people on top have been removed, and all the fear has already been removed. And this is just a matter of us allowing it to unfold smoothly. So.
I agree 100%. And the quantum financial system, I know it's there. It's been up for quite some time. And when they talk about the banks collapsing, and you might not have access to your money for a few days, that's okay, you know, because we all know that there's going to be a backup system. I'm not even worried about that. And our job as light beings is to make sure that the other people don't panic, and we keep them, you know, calm and stay in their heart centers and just keep on doing your daily things that you love to do and don't get caught up in the drama. Because for instance, Minnesota, right? That kind of feels like George Floyd all over again, what we're seeing over there. And I just kind of laugh at it because it's like, look over here, pay attention over here, because we don't want you focusing on this over here. So just remember that, you guys. We've all been through a lot in the last couple what, 4 or 5 years? For me anyway, some of you longer because you've been awake a lot longer. But it's a journey for each and every one of us. And right now, I am in this system and I'm navigating through it, but I'm looking at it differently. I'm not in the fear mode anymore. I'm not in the doubt mode. And I don't let these people intimidate me because we are government just as they are. But yet they have been in their system for so long that we feel like we're beneath them. And we got to stop having that mentality. We're all equals. Where we go one, we go all. And most of the people in that industry don't know about a lot of this stuff. So they're just doing their jobs. And we just got to remember that and treat them with respect. But yet, stand our ground at the same time from our hearts. And
Right.
that's how we'll get through it. So let's see, where did I leave off? So no more putting our heads in the sand. Challenge the process. Everyone is profiting except for us. And without us, they don't have a system. Okay. So the bank does not make any money from your monthly payments. That is a fact. They take your note and they sell it as an MBS, which we all know is mortgage-backed securities, or an ABS, asset-backed securities. A collection of promissory notes signed by us, our signature, is turned into a cash flow. Wall Street trades our debt by turning it into bonds. Every time a bond is sold, someone gets paid, and it's definitely not us. So the transfer to secondary market is who actually profits from all of this. For example, your mortgage, and as I said earlier, your car loan or your student loan gets recycled into a new financial product, mainly mortgage-backed securities and asset-backed securities. If you need a visual process, think of it like a pawn shop for debt. The bank trades your promise for instant cash. This is how it works. The bank creates your loan, then they sell it to an aggregator or a government-sponsored entity like Fannie Mae, Ginnie Mae, Freddie Mac, or private investors. These entities bundle thousands of loans together in a pool. These pools are now sent to Wall Street as securities and tradable bonds. Security means money in banking terms, which means value. They then are sold to investors who earn returns, and then it is cleared through the Federal Reserve. Now, see, I don't understand that part. How does the Federal Reserve clear it? Any ideas?
Didn't tell you.
Yeah, so I have to look into that. So that's an interesting big question mark for me. So therefore, your mortgage is not a private contract anymore between you and the bank. This is when you can challenge it because it is now a global investment product. This is also how the bank double dips. So the lender does not want to keep the loan long term. They sell it up. They sell it to free up cash to make more loans. And ownership of the note transfers, not necessarily the servicing. So in my case, when my mortgage was sold to LoanCare is actually the servicer of the loan. But there was some hanky-pank going on between Mortgage One and the other entity. And I won't talk about that. But yeah, a lot of interesting stuff in regard to my mortgage. Servicing rights is so they can collect on the debt. Now, you can challenge this in regard if there is a debt to be serviced. If they sold the debt, how can they have servicing rights to collect the debt, right? So the note starts as a piece of paper. Once it is sold, it becomes a digital bond backed by our labor. Our labor is part of the credit. The debt system is dependent on us working 8 hours a day. If we are busy working all day long, we don't think about anything except getting our debt paid. That's the reason why we work all day, right? And at the end of the day, we are so tired or whatever it is that we're doing that we just want to come home and chill, eat dinner, and some people may sit back and watch TV or whatever it is that they do. And the same routine starts all over the next day. We do the same thing. It's like Groundhog's Day. Maybe that's why they made that movie. I can't remember the actor's name. So Do you guys know that the MBS, the mortgage-backed securities, is a $13 trillion market in the United States? It is a systematic loop. Every note sold creates liquidity, also known as fresh credit that creates new loans. Interesting, huh? That's
Oh, yeah.
a lot of money. So here is the flow. We create the value with our signature that turns into a note that becomes the bank's asset, and the bank sells it. They receive cash from the investors, and the cash goes back into the loans. Then the process repeats. There you have it. Infinite debt and infinite credit. And that's how it flows. So the game that Monopoly was derived from was the Landlord's Game. It's an old-time game, and it was very interesting. And if you remember the game Monopoly, they buy hotels and houses. And do you guys remember how it works?
Oh,
Shane,
yeah.
did you ever play that?
Oh, yeah.
Like who didn't? Who would have thought that we would grow up and actually live it? Okay, so I want to talk about the GAP, General Accepted Accounting. All that this is numbers being put into your account entries, and we think that it is actual money. Money is just an illusion based on accounting entries because we all know that the green stuff, yes, we all know, is just a Federal Reserve note. Example of this. And I just talked about the game. So, Landlord's Game. Okay, so here it is. I did write the information in regard to it. So, this is a game that was that Monopoly was structured from. And if you understand Monopoly, it's all about acquiring assets like hotels, houses, right? And after aspect of this is the cusp number. Okay, so I want to kind of talk about the cusp number. Years ago, when I first started down the straw man journey, I was hearing everybody talk about it, and a friend of mine at the gym was telling me about this website that he found, and he told me about the cusp number, and I'm like, "What's the cusp number?" Well, it's a 9-digit alphanumeric code which distinguishes individual securities like stocks and bonds, which we all know stocks and bonds are financial assets, okay? So I went to this website, and I actually reached out to him today, and he's going to try to get the information. Because I do remember going back to the website, and I think it was taken down, or I just didn't remember, the link to it. But when you go in there and you put your cusp number, which you can get from the Treasury, you put it in there, and when I put my number in there, all these securities and bonds came up. There were millions of them in my name. Not in the just in the United States, but also like in countries like Africa. Where else did I see? Greece, just different countries. And I'm like, I've never been to any of these countries. But now, after learning all this, I realize now what that was all about. And it was in the millions. So they base all of this off of our, how much we're going to work and how much debt we're going to go in our lifetime. Does that kind of make sense?
Oh, yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
So it's very, very interesting. Okay, what else do I got? So just sharing more information. Oh, the Truth in Lending app. Let's talk about that a little bit. I don't see any callers. It's awful quiet out there. Shane, call for help. Maybe we'll get some callers.
Well, we only have a few minutes left, so
Oh gosh, I didn't even realize that.
you're having fun.
Okay, Truth in Lending app.
3 minutes left.
All right, real short version, real short version. The Truth in Acting Lending Act passed in 1968 in U.S. federal law designed to protect consumers by making sure lenders clearly explain the true cost of borrowing money. So this is another way you can challenge them. They need to disclose exactly how the loan was submitted and how it was processed. So you can challenge the banks in that way. And you can go to 15 USC 1635, which is the right of rescission. All right. So there's a lot of good information in there. Learn those UCC codes because there's a lot of good stuff. So I guess we'll close the show. I am Robin with the Shanester.
Thank
Love
you
you,
all for
Shane.
coming. Love
Huh?
you too. I say love you too. And I was thanking everyone for listening and being here with us.
Yeah.
I'm glad you had a great trip. I just it's amazing to have you back. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, all you beautiful souls. Align with your highest truth and remember to act from love. Thank you, BBS, all you subscribers, and all you beautiful listeners. Until next time, stay in your high frequency and stay heart-centered and enjoy this beautiful sunny Saturday here in Michigan. Love you all. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.